Welcome to the show. You're here. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Danielle Johnson. Sandra's off today. And today we have a great local lender, John Spur, owner of Inspired Life Mortgage. How you doing, John?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I thought we'd start off by asking, why would we recommend a local lender over a national lender for buying a house?
Well, I know you guys and several of the realtors that I also work with, they love to see an offer letter that has a local lender, that they know that somebody here in town that
we can touch.
You can touch. You can talk to. You can drive to the office, sit down, see them. It's not somebody sitting in a booth at some call center in, I don't know, Phoenix or Colorado or wherever those call centers might be. But the other nice thing about using a local lender is, you know, I've been here my entire life. Mm-hmm. You know, I just had another birthday. Not the milestone yet, but okay, we're getting so close.
23. All right.
Yeah,
good job, John.
23 times 2 plus 3. Only a lender can make a math joke that
fast.
There
you go. I know. I'm still doing the math.
But I've been in the industry in Tucson for 31 years, and so I know the players, I know the agents, I know the title companies, I know the neighborhoods, and you know what to look out for and what we might stumble across as a problem on a particular property in a particular area. So it just all helps the transaction go smoother.
I think last time we talked, you were saying that your company been, and how long you been in the company? You started your company 5 years ago?
Yeah, so I started Inspired Life Mortgage 5 years ago.
But with that, you're saying that you have a, what's the word you used? A plethora of people you can go to when it comes to mortgaging.
Yeah, because we are a mortgage broker.
Right.
So, you know, there's mortgage bankers, mortgage brokers, correspondent lenders, retail lenders, like the big banks. There's different ways to get a mortgage. We all get our money from the same spot. The nice thing about being a mortgage broker is I have access to, if I wanted, hundreds of lenders. I have relationships with 28. I have 18 that I use annually. I have about 4 that I use on a regular basis. But it gives me options. I'm not confined to just whatever little box the other companies confine their LOs to.
Yeah, you've pretty much opened up your aperture when it comes to trying to help a person getting a loan.
That's a big fancy word for you.
I was wondering if he actually knows what it means.
Had him do it with a camera. Opens up the lens, blows the lens.
It's impressive.
I don't know what to say with that.
This is what happens when Sandra's not here.
Yeah, she usually backs me up and helps me out here. I'm all on my own. So we'll talk a little bit about what I saw on TV yesterday and heard on the radio is that the Fed is not going to raise the rates. And I sent you a text saying, yay, this is all good. And you sent me a text, slow down, buddy.
Yeah, I sent you a text immediately and burst your bubble. I just imagine deflated Ray floating around the room. You know, the Fed's, number one, the mortgage industry and the bond market already had built in that the Fed was not going to raise rates yesterday.
Okay.
That was something we pretty much was a guarantee and we knew was not going to happen. What they did is the next closest thing they could to raising rates, which was they changed their dot plot and they changed their verbiage and they pushed out how long they're going to keep these rates elevated. So now we're looking at possibly the end of 2024 or beginning of 2025 before we see a relief in rates, whereas before it was the middle of 2024. So that in return has pushed mortgage rates up. Although the Fed didn't increase short-term rates, they said that they're going to keep the rates where they're at longer, higher for longer. And that in turn made the mortgage bond market freak out and went up about 0.375% in a day.
In a day. Wow. Thanks for tuning in with us. We are here with John Spur, who is the owner of Inspired Life. Is there anything we can do, anything can happen that can change that? And maybe to get the Fed to change his plans for the next year? What has to happen?
It's all negative, and I don't want to start throwing scary stuff out there, but it's like scary things need to happen. You know, the biggest event that has the opportunity of changing anything for us is the election next year. The first Wednesday in November, when we see who's been elected into the House, the Senate, the White House, and so on and so forth, that's really going to give the market an idea of what the next 4 years is going to bring, and we'll see a direction at that point. Other than that, you're looking at events like a certain industry collapses, or we go to war, or things like that.
Okay.
You're going to have something significant and negative.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Nothing that we want or wish for.
Yeah, my fault. I don't wish for any of that to happen. This is what has to happen. I'd rather be this way than any of that bad things to occur.
So right now we're looking at rates staying high. Are we expecting they're going to increase at all, or are we expecting they're going to be pretty consistent for the next year and a half?
So people much smarter than me, we've been texting back and forth all morning, and there was option one and option two, and Fed has basically indicated they're going the route of option two, which is keep rates high for a longer period of time and wait for something to break. So the other option was they could just keep raising rates until they put the complete brakes on the economy. I think they're afraid to put complete brakes on the economy, especially going into an election year.
Right.
So they've indicated the plan is, all right, we're going to keep rates high for a long period of time and wait for something to break.
So right now, for buyers who are trying to decide what to do, I mean, that's not the best news. It's good to know that hopefully we're not increasing much, but to know that they're staying high for a while. So the market that we're in right now is, I mean, this is it, right? There's nothing to wait for at this point.
So we're going to go back to there's a cost of waiting, right?
Right, right.
We're looking at this rate environment somewhere between the predictions that came out were going to be somewhere between 6.5 and 8.5 for an extended period of time. And I know that's a 2% range, but because rates do go up and down
right
throughout this period. We're still expecting, 3-5% appreciation per year?
Right, for the house.
Right? So we're just going to do real simple, easy math. You buy a $100,000 house, next year it's worth $105,000. The next year it's going to be worth, $112,500, somewhere in that range. So in a two-year period, at a $100,000 house, appreciate $12,000. You are leaving that $12,000 on the table if you don't go buy a house, if you're renting.
Right.
And even though rates are at 8.25% where they are. The other thing is, remember, when you rent, your interest rate is 100%.
Yeah.
100% of your money is going to somebody else. You're not paying
down. I have to use that. Your interest rate. That's the word I'm looking for. Your interest rate is 100%.
Right. So if you can afford your rent payment and you have good credit, you can qualify for a mortgage. Invest in yourself. I mean, every time I'm on the show, I think I say that same line over and over and over.
We keep trying to emphasize that too, yeah, John. Even if you don't have good credit, your point is to go to you now and then start trying to find a way to get your credit good so you can go and get into a house sooner than later.
So to your point, for buyers out there right now, they're looking to buy a house. This is the rate environment we're in, and we're going to be in it for an extended period of time. Don't listen to people that tell you, in 6 months, rates are coming down. You'll refinance. You'll do that. This is where we're at. If you can afford to buy a house and you can afford the payment, get it, because you're going to marry the house and you're going to date the rate.
I was hoping you were going to bring that back in here.
rates are going to come down, but it's going to be a couple of years. But at that point, you're going to be able to refinance and get a significantly lower payment.
And your house will appreciate it by then.
And your house will have appreciated by then.
Hey, we're heading to the break. Thanks for spending part of your afternoon with us. You're listening to the IM Real Estate Show on 1030 AM KBOI The Voice. We'll be back with more with John Spurr of Inspired Life Mortgage. Welcome back to the IM Real Estate Show with Ray and Danielle. Sandra has the day off. We're here with John Spurr. I'd like to remind you guys that when you rent, 100% of your interest rate goes to them.
When you rent, your rate is 100%.
Yeah, when you rent, your rate is 100%. Remember that. I'm going to say that every segment so until you guys get that. Go ahead, Danielle.
You know, we're talking about the rental rates, the buying rates. The interest rates have gone up over the last couple years, and that things have kind of changed in the market, and that they're going to stay high. And we've talked before about when you're renting versus owning. And there's something I saw recently talking about how the affordability of houses, rates have gone up, prices have gone up, everything's gone up so much in the last couple years, that they were comparing renting versus buying a couple years ago compared to now, and kind of how that's changed, and trying to say that, it's getting harder to buy a home, and that sometimes it looks like buying a home is going to actually cost you more than renting. What are your thoughts on that?
So, yeah, I can see where our average rental prices right now are probably a little less than a mortgage payment if you were doing, you know, a down payment assistance program, a 3% or 5% down. I think when you're in that 10 to 20% down range, it's very comparable to what it would cost to rent. But again, as we, Ray, brought the show in, when you rent, your rate is 100%. And what I mean by that is if you're paying $1,800 a month in rent, that's to put a roof over your head, but you are essentially taking $1,800 and throwing it in a bucket and setting it on fire. You're not getting anything in return. You're not paying down the principal balance on a mortgage on a house you own, and you're not getting the appreciation on that house. And like we talked about last segment, on just $100,000 home, you're looking at somewhere between $7,000 to $12,000 in appreciation over 2 years. If you're buying a $300,000 home, you're looking at almost $30,000 in appreciation over 2 years. So although you may pay $250 a month more on a mortgage payment than rent, you're gaining so much more in equity that it's offsetting the fact that a mortgage payment right now might be more than rent. And remember, as you were so happy that I brought it back, you marry the house and you date the rate. When you rent, rents continue to go up. And every year, rents continue to go up. And you're only in a 1 year or 2 year lease. And when that lease is up, your rent could go up again.
It's going up.
When you do a 30-year fixed mortgage, you have locked in your cost of living. And if we're at a higher rate environment, the only thing that can do is mean that your payment is going to come down as you refinance into lower rates. So, I mean, I'm happy to blow holes in these arguments all day long that renting would be cheaper than buying. It just isn't. It doesn't matter what the rate is. It's never cheaper to rent than buy.
Well, and I think that's a really good point to bring up, too, that, you know, year after year, as you're signing a new lease, there are a lot of people right now that are having a surprise of $500 or more increase in their monthly payment in their rentals. That's not going to happen to you if you own your home.
I own four rentals. We raised the rents on all of them, $250 this year on each one when the lease came due, because that was what the market would allow me to do.
I was thinking that I'm trying to wonder what scares renters not to buy. What is the thing that they're afraid of? They're afraid of people knowing that they can't afford to buy right now. Is it the fact that they're worried about they don't have enough down payment? Is it the fact that they're just... they just don't want that. They're just afraid of being in charge of something that belongs to them. They were afraid that now they got to be responsible for it, where when you're renting, someone else is taking care of every issue that comes up.
It's definitely the unknown. I mean, the majority of people renting right now are going to end up being first-time home buyers. They don't know where to start.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we all lean towards the Google machine to learn things. And anybody that is a self-proclaimed lending expert or real estate expert gets out there and starts giving their two cents, and it's confusing. I talked to a couple at the beginning of the week, and they had spent a month researching all sorts of stuff on the internet. And unfortunately, about half of what they read was wrong or misleading. And they realized that they were probably a good 6 to 12 months away from actually buying instead of being ready to buy right now. So it's finding an expert, you know, finding an expert like the Johnson Smith team and myself to guide you through the process.
You know, and talking about first-time home buyers and not knowing where to go with questions, we'll hold a class and sit down and teach those things. I mean, we're here to educate, not just, you know, expecting you to be ready today. We're open to helping through the entire process, even if you are 6 months away or more.
Exactly.
You know, and that's something that I think that just not knowing, like you said, the unknown, just the not being aware of what you need to know or what questions to ask, that scares a lot of people. And it can be paralyzing to feel like you don't know what to do, or you know, don't know what question to ask.
How do we remind them that the resource is not Google? It's actually going to a lender or to a real estate agent. And if you're comfortable, you come to Johnson Smith team. We can't help you. We know that we know a lender. We know a title company. We know people who can provide this information for you. Information is the most powerful thing to have, but it has to be good information.
It's all about knowing that you're talking to an expert.
Yes.
You know, and that's the hardest. We all know, sitting in this room, that's the hardest thing about our industry and what we do, is separating ourselves from the ones that are or maybe not as good, or maybe not an expert, or maybe this isn't their first career, right? This is a moonlighting job. And so it's getting in front of and talking to somebody that can guide you and educate you and not tell you, this is what you're going to, you never hear me tell a borrower, you're going to go do this.
Exactly.
I ask a series of questions and get to know their unique situation. And then we start putting a plan together and educating, because being educated in the process so that you can make the right decision for yourself is what's most important.
And options, having the options in front of them. A recent client that talked to John had come back and said, he sat down with me, he explained the options that I had and helped me understand which option, you know, if I choose this, this is where it takes me. If I choose that, that's where it takes me. I think having those options and being able to make an educated decision
is empowering.
It's so empowering.
Yes,
it's so helpful to be able to move forward. And another thing about, you know, we've talked about using a local lender versus a national chain. When you've got a local team who understands the market here and who knows Tucson, then it makes it so much easier to give that information to them, as opposed to, you know, like you're looking on Google, you're watching YouTube videos. That person in another place may have completely different situations where they know their city,
right?
But they don't know here.
Right.
And taking that advice without, you know, talking to someone local, that could be a very bad decision for them.
And I was going to say, the other thing we've got to remember is marketing has moved away from what used to be the phone book and the newspaper, and then it went to TV, then it went to radio. Now everybody markets on social media. Every single person that's trying to find business, to get any type of business, is marketing on social media. And so now you just have a plethora of information to sift through and try to figure out what is right and what is wrong. And you know, buying real estate and mortgage lending is very subjective. Everybody has their own opinions. Everybody approaches it differently. And I'm not saying the way I do it is the right way, but my way has been very successful over 30 years. And I've helped a lot of people.
Yeah, we're here with John Spur, who is the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage. And the thing he, I think, emphasized that you get to make the choice, but one, we provide you with all the options to make sure that you're making an informed choice, an informed decision. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show here on 1030 AM The Voice. We'll be back with more of the show and on topics relevant to real estate issues and news about lending with John Spur. And Danielle and I, we miss you, baby. Talking to my wife. Thanks, everybody, for staying with us. You're here with the I Am Real Estate Show here with John Spur, the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage. He is a local lender in Tucson. He's been around for 5 years. He's been in the business for over $10 million. So we're happy to have him here.
So if I'm 10 million, that makes you 30 million?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Somewhere around there.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so we've been talking about the affordability of housing, both, you know, we've talked about renting and owning, and getting into a mortgage can be kind of scary for some people, especially because the rates are up. So do you have some strategies for someone who is trying to have a little bit more of an affordable payment for trying to reduce that payment?
Yeah. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. The strategy is down payment. In the current environment we're in, the quickest way to bring that payment down is to put more money down. I absolutely do not believe in buying a rate down right now. I think it is a waste of money. It is very expensive to buy the interest rate down right now.
Okay. That was going to be my next question. So, okay.
And it's, if we were a year and a half ago, I'd say, yeah, let's buy the rate down. Right now, you know, you'll spend $5,000-$7,000 to go from 7 1/8 to 6 1/2. And it just doesn't move the needle. I'd rather you take your $8,000 and throw it a down payment than throw it at buying the rate down, because we could all be wrong, and in 6 months, an industry collapse, and all of a sudden, rates come screaming down.
Like COVID, all of a sudden, has come back for the third or fourth time, and now everybody's back home again.
Yeah, you know, who knows? We don't have a crystal ball. We believe we're going to be in this rate environment for a year to year and a half. but there could be a catastrophic event that happens. And the other part of it is, right now, any rate buy down that I have done a calculation on, you would have to make 24 to 30 payments before you break even. Well, if we're talking a year and a half before rates start coming down, you're throwing money away.
You're better off to refinance
when they come down. So, you know, and now, so these, the 2-1 buy downs have been coming back. Oh, the seller's willing to fund a 2-1 or 3-1 buy down. I don't like those either, because it's a temporary situation. So the other side of the coin, we're wrong and we're in this environment for 3 years. Well, you did a 3-2-1 buy down. Well, at the end of the 3 years, your interest rate has gone up 3% and rates are still high. So you accomplished nothing. Instead of taking the seller's $12,000 to buy it down, take $12,000 off the price of the house. That's just my opinion right now. Right. You know, so if your question, how do we get the payment affordable? More down payment. So where does that come from? Comes from your own funds. Comes from your 401k or IRA. It can come from a gift from a family member, a family-like relationship. It can come from an employer. Any of the employers out that are listening, we can put together a home buying program for your employees where you can contribute to their closing costs and down payment.
Yes.
Or it could be a down payment assistance. The least of my favorite options.
You see how you hear that pause?
And he knows that's where we're going soon.
No, we understand that. And with the down payment assistance, it's just that some people are looking for something to have and they just don't have it. They want to get into something now because we keep telling them to get into something now and they just don't have the down payment.
And there are good down payment assistance programs, okay, and there are bad programs.
Okay.
Unfortunately, what I see is everybody marketing the bad programs because it's got a large chunk of money down to people that have their own down payment, but this is how I can go buy a little bit more house by using this down payment assistance program.
Gotcha.
So basically, it's putting them in a... And by the way, down payment assistance has a higher rate, but just the loan program itself is going to have a higher interest rate than a regular loan without down payment assistance. But there are good programs out there, and the ones that I like are actually grants. They may call them a DPA, but they're a grant, and the money is truly free. There's mm-hmm. no obligation to pay it back. There's no such thing as like a silent second where they put a second mortgage on your property and you may have to pay it back. All of that garbage isn't, you know, surrounding a grant program. But grant programs have income restrictions where you cannot make more than X per year mm-hmm. per month to qualify for the grant. And that's where the challenge comes in, because in Tucson, the 80% of the adjusted median income is $5,700 a month. And so it's not...
That's pretty tough, yeah.
It's tough to go qualify for the bigger house you want with $5,700 a month income and interest rates where they're at. So the other part is expectation, right? When I bought my first house, rates were ridiculously high, and it was my first house. I moved into it. I lived in it for a couple of years. We had some kids, appreciation, sold it, took that $20,000, used as a down payment on another house. I think we came out of a market where everybody is so used to just going and buying the big, bad, I'm going to live in forever house, because rates were so low that, you know, part of its mindset in realizing that I'm a first-time home buyer, this is my first house, it's not my forever home.
Your thought process needs to change a little bit from what it was when we had 2.5 interest rates.
So you talked about the down payment assistance programs having higher rates. Do those grants also have higher rates?
No, the grants do not.
So that's another big thing to keep in mind, is it, you know, if you can get that grant that's free money and you don't have to pay higher rates... Some of those down payment assistance programs we do hear a lot about, but that's really good to know.
I think it's all about getting to an experienced lender that has a plethora of options for you to say, I can go and look at all these different things and give you four or five different down payment DPAs.
I talked to a couple on Saturday morning who called me, and they were just, we're using down payment, we want down payment assistance, we can get the, and they're just going on and on and on. They've looked at all the down payment assistance programs out there. And then I started comparing payments and going through the pros and cons. And the husband stops and goes, well, how much do I need down to buy this particular house and get the payment here? And I came back and said, well, you know, if you did 15% down, we would hit your payment goal and you could buy that house. well, why don't we just do that instead of down payment assistance? Well, you're the one that called me and said you wanted to do that. So part of this is people just think that it's free money is a great way to go.
Right.
And once we start going through what the payments look like and what the interest rates are and the pros and cons, they realize, oh, I'm better off just using my own money.
So what is the ideal down payment to try to get whatever benefit most people are looking for? Is there kind of a magic number, or is it just dependent on the house and the situation?
It depends on the house, the situation, and in their unique situation. A lot of the times I'm leaning towards FHA regardless of down payment, just because the rate is significantly better. Mm-hmm. And it's an easier product to qualify for.
Right.
20% to avoid MI. But 5% would be a great place to start.
What's MI, so people can understand what that is?
Mortgage insurance.
Okay. We're going to go to break right now. We're talking to John Spurr, who is the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage. I think we go back on the other side. I'm sorry, Danielle. We'll talk about a little bit about all of the other things that Inspired Life does for the community and the other organizations that are covered under the Inspired Life umbrella. I thought I'd start off the break doing it this way. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, or if you have any questions concerning real estate, please call the Johnson Smith team. We're part of Indy Realty at 520-850-1725. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show, and we're here with John Spurr, the owner of Inspired Life. It's Ray Smith and Danielle Johnson. Sandra Johnson is on break right now. She'll be back next week. I want to think talking about closing costs and the percentage of that is to part of the loan. First, tell people, what is the closing cost?
It's going to be your underwriting fee, credit report, appraisal, any of the title charges, like the escrow charges for having the escrow account, your mm-hmm. title insurance, recording fees, your prepaid interest, your 1 year's worth of property insurance, just anything that is a cost related to getting the loan closed and paying all the individuals that are involved. It's not just... We all know it's not just one person. I counted it up one time. A loan from the time you take the application until it gets sold on the secondary market, about 50 people touch that thing.
Wow.
So, you know, from appraisers to title company employees, so on and so forth.
And so my thing was that, with that being said, having the closing costs and stuff, it's important that every loan and every transaction, there's a closing cost that comes with it. It's always there.
And people have asked me, well, what's a safe percentage? And it, unfortunately, there isn't a safe number, because as, you know, if you're buying a $500,000 house and you're financing $250,000, your closing costs are going to be significantly different than if you're buying a $500,000 house and you're financing $450,000, because part of the closing costs are a percentage of the loan amount, and part of the closing costs are a percentage of the sales price. And so there's no... I can't say, oh, just if you factor 4%, you're going to be safe. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
The nice thing is with, you know, computers today and in the title company's cost sheets, I can come up with closing costs in about 30 seconds if I know the loan amount and the sales price. It's not that hard to figure them out.
Yeah. What
is an appraisal?
Yeah.
As in the cost of an appraisal, or what is it as, and what is it an appraisal?
What is appraisal?
That is somebody's opinion of what the house is worth.
I want to make sure they understand it. Because we always ask about it. It's not the value of the house. It's someone's opinion of what they think the house would sell for, but if the bank had to resell it if something happened with the... You know.
It's
so many different... Yeah, so many...
Something is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
That's what its value is. An appraisal is an inspection of the property. That part of what they're doing is making sure that, you know, there's not holes in the walls and everything functions and they're actually selling what is said on the contract. And the other part is to look at what other homes in the neighborhood have sold and do a comparison and say, yeah, you know what? The sales price of $365,000 on this house seems fair.
Okay.
That's all it is. It's not actually what that home is worth. What somebody's willing to pay for it is what it's worth.
What's the cost for an appraisal, John?
Oh, good grief.
You brought it up, so I thought I was throwing you a softball question. I apologize.
Apparently, it's whatever an appraiser wants to charge. No, that's not true. They run anywhere from as little as $500, and I've had estimates come back at $1,800 to $2,500. Okay. And again, it depends... How big is the house? Is it unique? Is it on land? Is it in Rio Rico or is it in Tucson? Just so many different factors come into what determines the cost of getting that appraisal. So if you're if it's a cookie cutter house in a regular neighborhood, you're probably $550 to $625. Mm-hmm. If you're on 25 acres, you know, south of Green Valley, and it's a 4,000 square foot house with outbuildings, it's going to cost more.
Yeah. And so with that being said, what is the difference between a regular appraisal and a desktop appraisal?
Desktop appraisal, somebody sitting in an office behind a computer that is just doing research on the computer, looking at comps that have been sold online and giving an opinion of value that way, as opposed to inspecting the property. There's pluses and minuses. The plus is they're cheaper and they're quicker. The minus is if the house it's selling has had recent updates and the pictures online don't reflect that, then they don't know that the home has been updated and that value is not being given to it.
Right. And I think what people need to understand what the appraisal does is that the appraisal, if the appraisal price and the price on the contract are different, is less, then there's something you have to sit there and negotiate. And if it's equal to, then everything's okay and the contract can usually move forward.
Yes.
I want to know what's the reason for people to understand. That's the reason why we talk about the appraisal. With that being said, you've been doing a lot of appraisals recently. Have they been coming in at value, or you've seen a lot of things going?
Pretty much everything's been at value or, you know, a little bit over. I got an appraisal in today. It was $5,000 over sales price. But it did have what's called subject to. There were repairs, and the repair was that the latch for the pool gate didn't self-latch. So now that has to be fixed. Then we have to send the appraiser back out to verify that it was fixed.
And when that appraiser goes back out, are there additional fees?
$150. Every time.
You know, I had a client recently looking at the cost of the appraisal saying, well, I don't really care if it appraises or not, so can I just waive my appraisal? And the answer to that is?
The one that holds the gold makes the rules. They want the appraisal.
So in case you didn't understand that, the answer is no, you cannot waive it unless you're paying cash.
Correct. There are rare instances where the automated underwriting system, AUS, comes back and says there's an appraisal waiver and we don't have to get it. It's usually somebody with really good credit, a lot of money down, and it's usually in a neighborhood that's been very active to where there's been a lot of sales in the last 6 to 9 months, and the system has enough data uploaded that it's comfortable with the sales price.
Now, John, you're the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage, but you're a conglomerate. It's more than just Inspired Life Mortgage. What else do you has under your umbrella?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the year, my wife and I, we created the Inspired Life Group.
Yeah, that's what it was. I like that.
And so within the Inspired Life Group, we have mortgage, chiropractic, massage, acupuncture. We have this great machine called SoftWave, TRT, which stands for Tissue Regeneration Therapy. So we have a lot of different services underneath the Inspired Life Group. And I know it's odd to have a mortgage lender and a chiropractor under the same roof, but I will tell you, my number one referral source is my wife.
With that being said, where's the whole conglomerate or the group located at?
We are at 1951 North Wilmot in Building 1 on the second floor.
I think people can see your sign now, right?
And the sign is up, yes. The sign is finally up. That was interesting challenge. I never imagined that getting a sign on a building would be as difficult as that was.
Yeah. Can you sit there and talk a little bit about the people who do, like, talk about a little about Dr. Rachel and Miss Ginger, the people who are actually doing those two, who's working on the massage and the
So we have, my wife is Dr. Rachel. She's been a chiropractor for 15, 16 years now. She also does the SoftWave treatments for tissue regeneration. Ginger is our acupuncturist, and she is extraordinarily good.
Yeah, if Sandra was here, we'd spend another 5 minutes just talking about Ginger.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. All of her patients love her, and she also does what's called Tuina massage, a different style of massage, which is absolutely amazing. We have a massage therapist, Evan. She is great. All of her patients love her. She's in twice a week doing massages. We just hired a individual that is going to be doing vibrational acoustic, I always get it wrong, it's called VAT, V-A-T, vibrational acoustic therapy. She did a treatment on me, and you know how high strung I am, and I go 100 miles an hour all the time, right?
Like,
you cannot turn me off. I went and did this treatment for 30 minutes, and I came back into the office, and all the employees and the girls were like, what is wrong with you? Like, you were very calm. I went home. It was the best night's sleep I've ever had. But in short, it's really good for relieving the stress, and if you have problems sleeping, it really helps you get over that and get a peaceful night's sleep and rest. And so it's a very unique therapy. There's only her in Tucson that offers it. There's not much of it across the country. It's fairly new. And because we always like bringing in the latest and newest technologies into our office, we're bringing it on. She'll be there Mondays to start. But, I mean, it's real quick. It's 30 minutes, and it's great.
I remember you said the same thing about when Ginger came, and you said, yeah, she's only going to be there for Mondays and Mondays and Tuesdays, something like that. And all of a sudden, when people start realizing how good these people are, their calendar gets really booked. So
Ginger's booked out 3 to 4 weeks, and I just put an ad out for another acupuncturist because we've got people waiting in for her services. But yeah, Ginger, it only took a couple months to get her booked out.
And so a little bit about the whole thing about, I'm thinking of chiropractic and stuff. They have a different number than you have, though, right?
Yeah. So the Inspired Life Chiropractic is 520-390-2966.
What's that number again?
390-2966.
Okay. Now, location is?
1951 North Wilmont.
You guys are on the second floor, right?
Yeah, we're on the second floor.
And your office is also there, right, John?
Yeah, there's a Ray chair in my office.
It is the best chair ever, everybody. You do not use it when you go in there, please. It's not for you. It was not meant for you. It was just meant for me to go there. We have so much fun talking about those things, and I think that you guys are so great at what you do, and that the group is getting larger and larger. Do you plan on expanding more and going out and bringing more medical assistance?
Yeah, so we have a couple other ideas on the horizon. The next biggest thing that we're going to do is bring another chiropractor in the office. Uh-huh. We have the need. We have a wait list. And Rachel really doesn't need to be working 5 and 6 days a week. I'd like her to get back to the 4 that she was doing. Uh-huh. But we did recently expand down the hall, took over another 500 square feet. It's a multi-purpose room. We're using it for trainings. We're going to be doing community acupuncture in there, which is less expensive and a different style of acupuncture. We'll be having IV therapy in there 2 to 3 times a month. It'll also be where the vibrational acoustics will be done, and so on and so forth.
Do we not have a website?
We do have a website.
We didn't mention a website.
InspiredLifeChiropractic.com.
You want to take us one out?
Well, I was going to ask, what about mortgages?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. What about the phone number for mortgage, Ray?
What if you want to buy a house? How are we going to get a hold of you?
Oh, you can call me on my cell phone at any time, 520-247-3610. Or you can look us up on the web at inspiredlifemortgage.com. Or I guess you could call Ray, and hopefully he knows my number and he'd give it to you.
I'm so sorry. I just love the other portion of the conglomerate, the group. It's just, they do so much great work, and my wife is a testimony of how great things you guys do. So we really appreciate what you guys do. But I also know that you're a great, great lender, mortgage broker. You want to take us on out?
And if you do want to buy a house, please do call us too, the Johnson Smith team at Indy Realty. You can reach me at 520-373-6864.
What do we offer free?
A free home valuation and a free cup of coffee if you want to come hang out. We'll do that too. Sandra's number, 520-850-1725, and Raymond, 520-904-7711. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Pioneer Title Agency, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, and Power Solar. We'll see you next week.